Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. My name is Daryl Urbanski, your host as always. And today we're joined by Ashton Forbes, a dynamic citizen journalist known on Twitter as Just X Ashton. Ashton is a trailblazer and the mastermind behind MH370X, claiming to have solved the mystery of Malaysia Airlines Flight 370. Ashton's groundbreaking work has unlocked hidden military technology through the MH370 footage and story. I've asked him to join us here today to share his remarkable journey and help us unravel the secrets of MH370, exploring the cutting-edge technology shaping our future, including the unification of quantum and macro realms. So, Ashton, thank you for joining us, my friend. How are you doing?
Hey, doing great, Daryl. How are you?
Yeah, it's good to have you here. I've been following this for a while. I got red-pilled really hard in 2021. 2020, I was like, flatten the curve, go with the program. And then I started asking questions. I was in Vietnam for most of the pandemic, so we had vaccines. And then we got out, I was running to get a vaccine. And then we got cut in line because we know people. And just like everything, all the vaccines that I've had my daughter take, I tried to do research on them. And I started coming up with all these questions about stuff. And that led me to have more questions. And that led me to have more questions and more. And it really, in some respects, fractured my perspective on life and what like reality and this sounds crazy in a lot of ways, but I think everyone's had that. I think in the last few years, everyone's had like multiple WTFs per minute. Like, what is going on here? And then all of a sudden I stumble across your stuff talking about this Malaysia flight. And I didn't even know about it before. So I guess the first thing I want to ask you about is, okay, for people that don't know, there was a flight, and you've done this so many times already, but for people that don't know, Malaysia Airlines flight, what happened? Why do people even care? It was just because there was a crash and there was a couple hundred families that got lost. What is that? What brought attention to it to begin with? I don't want to minimize it.
I'd say the main reason why there's attention to it and why people are interested is because planes don't disappear in 2014, and yet Malaysian Airlines Flight 370, which was going from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia to Beijing, China, with 239 people on it, which includes 12 crew, disappeared off the face of the earth.
So no wreckage, no nothing.
So they didn't find any debris field anywhere. The things that people remember is that there was nobody really knew where the plane went or where it disappeared, especially in the few days after the media started reporting on it. What people generally know nowadays, which is weird because it was not a popular conspiracy theory, it was this conspiracy theory that the pilot committed some type of suicide route, which the reason why I call it a conspiracy theory is that there's actually literally no evidence whatsoever for that theory. A lot of people believe there's evidence, but it turns out that when you scrutinize the evidence, it falls apart immediately. There's no indication on the flight path there was a suicidal route. The simulator data that people claim was like this thing that he practiced was actually fake news. The FBI and officials ruled it out as not being suspicious. It turns out it was just MH150 to Jeddah. If somebody was trying to disappear the plane, they certainly wouldn't go to the South Indian Ocean. They would have just flown east from the South China Sea to the Mariana Trench, which is the deepest part of the whole ocean. And everybody supported the pilot. There are all these weird conspiracy theories about he's a terrorist sympathizer and that he's got women in different state country like areas,
right?
Of the
but
world
none of
or
that's
something.
relevant.
It was all fake too. It was none of it was even real. The coworkers, the officials gave him a clean bill of health. His wife supported him. His coworker said he's a great guy. He had 18,000 flight hours. This is not a guy that had any indication whatsoever of suicide. And that theory is funny. We found old articles back from 2014 where like that theory was one of the lowest probability ones. And now, just because people haven't been able to rationalize what happened to the plane, this conspiracy theory has gotten a lot more traction. The other thing that people will say is that we looked in the South Indian Ocean, which is where United States intelligence officials told us to search, which should be a pretty big red flag right off the bat. Why are United States intelligence officials dictating where the plane crashed and where the search happened without showing any evidence whatsoever? We have these satellite pings that came from Inmarsat, a British company that has ties to United States intelligence, that random third-party investigators did a novel analysis. They invented a novel analysis to determine that those satellite pings meant the plane went into the South Indian Ocean. And when you look at those satellite pings, what they amount to is 10 rows on an Excel spreadsheet. I kid you not, 10 rows on an Excel. I've looked at them. I'm one of the only people who probably has looked at them. And anybody who has any type of database experience, I work with relational databases, which is pretty much just Excel spreadsheets stacked on top of each other, would tell you right away when you look at the satellite data at 1840 UTC, when this plane is supposedly in the location where it turns to the South Indian Ocean, the data just cuts off. And then there's 10 rows of data. And then at 2315, which is like 5 hours, 6 hours later, it starts to pick up again. And that there
It's,
we're meant to
yeah.
believe that this proves that the plane went into the South Indian Ocean, which is extremely suspicious. And I wouldn't generally have this much suspicion, but we found nothing in the South Indian Ocean. It was the most expensive and extensive search in history. They searched with 40 planes and 40 boats above water. They searched with submersibles underwater, mapped huge swaths of the South Indian Ocean. They searched all up and down the entire seventh arc, which these satellite pings supposedly claim the plane crashed. There's nowhere else for
We
the
found
plane to
nothing.
go. The narrative has the plane running out of fuel. So people say, oh, well, the ocean's really big, but then they don't realize, like, all you have to say to break down the brainwashing is go, okay, point on the map where you think the plane crashed, because planes can't fly without fuel, so it can't go anywhere else. So either it crashed somewhere along the path, which we found nothing, or it didn't crash there.
And we know which way the tides are going as well. And so that's, I think you've
Yeah,
talked
the
about that
currents, the
before,
ocean
the current.
currents. So then the next thing that people say, because I can break down all the brain, everybody out there thinks this was a suicidal plane crash has been brainwashed. I'm just trying to be honest with you guys. That's the case. You've been brainwashed by the media, and it's so easy to break down. Because if you just Google the ocean currents, you'll notice that along the seventh arc, the ocean currents go to the east. And, or maybe this is the east for you guys. I can't tell if I'm mirrored here. But so you would expect that if the plane crashed there would be a giant debris field that we would be able to see from space. And then that debris would wash up where? In Australia. How much debris washed up in Australia? Zero. Not
None.
one piece of debris washed up in Australia. But about 16 to 18 months later, a few pieces of debris get found by third-party citizens that are just searching in Africa in the Reunion Islands. And they find a flapper on, and they search this guy Blaine Gibson. He was a feature on a Netflix documentary. Searches the coast of Africa and finds they find a Rolls-Royce engine cowling, which is like a piece of the wall of the engine. It's got the big RR on it. It's clearly a Rolls-Royce Boeing engine. It washes up in South Africa, which is almost 3,000 miles away from the supposed crash site. Literally impossible for it to have washed up there. Almost all the debris, like basically every single piece of the debris, is impossible for it to have washed up in Africa, which is where we started to find some debris. Now, what people also don't realize is there was so little debris found that you can't even prove that the plane crashed from it. So this goes to show how the media distorts the perspective of this debris to make people think that there was a plane crash. And they just don't address the fact that it's literally impossible for it to have washed, for it to have drifted past Australia, not touched Australia, and then gone back along west towards Africa in the 16 to 18 months. Just not possible. They falsified some models to, and when I say falsified, I truly mean it, because especially when you were talking about COVID, we learned that models are not science. Models literally are not science. Science is the study of observable reality. When you make a model, that's called confirmation bias, where you falsify some data to convince yourself that your preconceived notion is true. And that's what they did with the flapper on, which washed ashore on Reunion Island. They threw some boards in the water, and they immediately realized there was 0% chance it could make it to the Reunion Island from the location of this. So what did they do? They just deleted that study, and then they just found a flapper on from the Americans. They threw it in the water, and they saw that it sticks out of the water, and they said, okay, that's good enough. That means the wind would blow it, and it'll get over to Reunion Island.
I think
And
it's
that
important to mention this, how many passengers were on this plane?
239.
So 239. So this isn't like I'm walking and I drop my key in the grass and I got to
No.
go back and find my key.
No.
You have 239 people on a plane, which first off is a massive vehicle in itself. Then you have 239
Yep.
people, their jackets, their clothes, their shoes, their glasses, their belongings, their suitcases that are underneath. There's so much. I think this is where it's really important to say that there's so little debris, period. And they searched underwater. They've searched everywhere. The fact that there's nothing is completely flabbergasting because 239 people, like if you took 39 people and shook them upside down, there would be a soccer field full of stuff. And we found a handful of
Yeah.
items.
And here's the thing, Boeing 777 is the size of a city block. This is a giant aircraft. It's like twice as big as like a Boeing 737 or 757. These things are gigantic. They can hold 300 people. And for the people that have been on an airplane, most of the stuff in the airplane's made out of plastic. And planes literally do not crash into the ocean intact. So a lot of the people that have been brainwashed have just believed utter nonsense that like a plane would crash in the ocean without shattering into a million pieces. They claimed that the pilot pulled some kind of Sully Sullenberger mover and move in the middle of the ocean, which has giant wakes where the moment a wing were to hit one of those things, the plane's going to do a barrel roll. You cannot land a Boeing 777 in the ocean. That's not a thing you can actually do. These people have to like do these convoluted mental gymnastics to try to convince themselves because they're connected to those satellite pings being real. And the funny part is, once you realize that those satellite pings were falsified by the United States intelligence and by Inmarsat, then the whole narrative of the South Indian Ocean disappears and you get a new narrative, which is this idea of a fire event with the MH370 videos, where in the videos, we see satellite coordinates in this satellite video. Nobody even knew what satellite video would look like. When most people look at the video that you're seeing on the right with this, the satellite videos in black and, or white and blue there, they think that you're looking up. They don't. That's how little perspective people have for what we're even looking at there. And
So
we
that's
were able to
looking
map the
down.
coordinates. Yeah, that's looking down. See, people don't even know it's looking down. And both these are in infrared, but the drone video is like a multispectral camera that has thermal capabilities and other really advanced capabilities to be able to like extract really large amounts of intelligence. The satellite video is more of like just a tracking system, which we've identified as SBIRS, space-based infrared system.
So, oh,
And
let
the
me
reason,
stop you there. I want to get to a couple of points. So one,
go ahead.
so people said there was a fire. So they're okay. And then we're looking for
Okay.
footage. What happened? We find footage. How did we find this footage? And how do we know this footage is valid?
At the end of the day, the way that we determine the footage is valid is through the evidence, and that the evidence related to the missing plane stacks up to that footage being what really happened to the plane. And we can get to some more of that evidence, but first of all, proving the lie is the biggest thing. So we showed just now that planes don't crash without leaving debris field. We would have seen the debris field from space with our satellite system, with literally the SBIRS system that is mapping the whole world infrared, because the debris field would have been gigantic. The SOSIS system, sound surveillance system, that heard the Titan sub pop off the Titanic would have heard the plane crash. And that was just never brought up. The acoustic detectors, there's two acoustic detectors, they would have heard the plane crash as well. And there was actually a scientific study that was just published May 2nd, 2024, just a month ago, 2 months ago. And there's no acoustic detections consistent with anywhere during the flight path whatsoever. They have one acoustic detection from one of the two acoustic detectors when both of them should have heard it, but it's almost an hour after the plane ran out of fuel, which pretty much rules that out as well. Now, the last one is we have over the horizon radar. Pine Gap Military Base, United States Military Base, and Diego Garcia should have over the horizon radar, which can see for thousands of miles. It bounces off the ionosphere. You're trying to tell me that these military bases didn't see a plane going right past them in the South Indian Ocean? It's just not possible. So then what we did was we found the fire event. The two things that stick on board this plane are the 20 Freescale semiconductor engineers, which is way too many people on board the plane, and the 487 pounds of dangerous lithium ion batteries that are stacked up in the forward cargo bay right next to the electronics bay, which is the exact wrong spot where you would not want to have dangerous flammable batteries right next to where all your equipment is, because that's how you're going to make a plane go dark. We know these batteries are really dangerous now. In fact, just yesterday, there was a
Yeah,
fire in
saw that.
South Korea where 22 people died. Turns out most of the people died because just one or two inhalations of the smoke will kill you. Just one or two inhalations. So, what you find out once you map the coordinates in the satellite video, you find out that satellite video is happening in the Nicobar Islands. It turns out the coordinates are the exact same location where the narrative out there say the plane turned into the South Indian Ocean and flew for a bunch of hours where we never found anything. That's a giant coincidence to me. Looking at this flight path, you're going, where would something weird happen? The number one spot's the location where it all of a sudden takes a 90-degree turn into the South Indian Ocean out of nowhere and then just flies for 5 hours. That's where this happens. Turns out there's a witness, Catherine T, that's her sighting is well documented. The moment she landed in Phuket from her boat that she was on, she reports this sighting saying, I think I saw MH370. I saw a glowing orange plane with no navigation lights flying low, descending, turning with smoke coming out of the back of it, dark smoke. And when you look at these videos, you're seeing smoke come out of the plane in both of these videos as well. In fact, we did analysis on these videos. Those are cumulus clouds in the background. This plane's at low altitude. And the only way the turn makes sense in the drone video is if the plane is actually descending while it's turning as well, pulling an emergency descent maneuver. So Catherine T's sighting is consistent with these videos. It's also consistent with a China Times only Mayday call that was never reported in Western media, but you guys can find it if you look back at March 8th, March 9th, 2014, where China intercepted a communication supposedly from MH370 saying that the plane was attempting an emergency landing and disintegrating. Which I go, okay, well, now I've got Catherine T, who's seen a plane that's clearly got smoke coming out of the back. It must be on fire or some degree. You've got these videos showing it, and we got a Chinese-only Mayday call. Western media just didn't report on it. And then what we find is I go, okay, we've got one indication there was a fire. We've got 487 pounds of lithium-ion batteries that are now banned in cargo bay of passenger planes because of stuff like this. So many planes burnt up. And then you find out there's 18 more witnesses, at least, maybe more. But just the ones that I just found were like, I went back through the other witnesses and I went, well, I want to like look at the timeline of these other witnesses. Mike McKay is on an oil rig, sees the plane on fire the moment it goes dark. And I'm going, what? And then you find out there was nine witnesses along the coast, like up and down the coast, not next to each other, that all hear loud noises the same time Mike McKay sees the plane on fire for a few seconds. And then you find out there's eight fishermen 10 minutes later when the plane does a manual emergency descent turn back and flies to Penang, the closest airport you would go to in an emergency fire event. And they see the plane flying low, unusually low. And experts just reevaluated the radar pings a couple months ago. And they found out when the plane did this manual turn back, it also did an emergency descent maneuver, which is exactly what you would do in a fire event because the fire extinguishing devices suck oxygen out of the plane. So you would actually depressurize it, but not to knock people out, to get people enough oxygen to breathe and then fly low enough. What did we learn from the fire, the lithium-ion battery fire in South Korea yesterday? This is really dangerous. If that smoke is billowing through the air conditioning system, people are going to start dying very quickly. And the time from when the plane went dark to where these videos happened in the Nicobar Islands is 1 hour and 20 minutes. But the gas masks only last for 15 to 30 minutes at best. So this is a scary situation. And even before we see this anomalous videos that we're looking at right here, I have a bad feeling that a lot of people probably already succumbed to the smoke
Smoke,
inhalation
right.
on this plane. So then the question, last point is, if this was a fire event, which in my mind, there's no doubt whatsoever. We've got witnesses, Mayday calls, videos. We've got more evidence. I could convict anyone of murder with this evidence that proves a fire event. Why would you cover up a fire event? Why come up with this narrative of the South Indian Ocean that makes no sense? The answer is these videos. When you're looking at these videos, you're going, oh, this is why we had to cover it up. Even if this is aliens, which I think it is not by any chance, you still cover it up because what you're seeing here is too crazy for people to believe and for people to accept. And then it gets crazier. This isn't aliens. This is an operation. This drone filming, why is this drone filming? Why do we have this satellite video? Because this was planned out ahead of time, in my opinion. You could argue that maybe it was a rescue motive, but that's 1 hour and 20 minutes is a really fast time to send up your drone, operationalize your satellite. And it's possible maybe there's VIPs on board this plane and they're like, hey, you got to rescue me. But to me, like this drone is flying close to this plane, going underneath the wake of the plane. And when you look at the operator zoom in on the video on the left here, you watch them zoom out right
Because they
before
know
the
it's going to
zap happens.
happen.
They know
You're
it's going to
right.
go down, right? They know it's going to happen. This is not a hoax video. This is way too much detail. No one would have
Where
thought
do we
this
get
through when
these
you're
videos
hoaxing this.
from? How do we
So,
know?
yeah, so let's dig into that part. So, the videos reemerged on the social media site Reddit, on the subreddit UFOs in August of 2023. They have been posted periodically through the years. We've confirmed they go back to just weeks after the plane disappeared in 2014. The earliest uploader that we can find, there might be earlier ones, but the earliest one we could find was a YouTuber called Regicide Anon that has been deleted. That means King Anonymous King Killer, by the way. And on that video, the satellite video was the first one they published. The satellite video description reads, received March 12th, 2014. That's 4 days after the plane disappeared. We were still searching the South China Sea back then. So right away, unless Regicide Anon somehow linked to this hoax, then that's pretty much indisputable proof that video is an authentic video of the plane because no one would have known where to put the plane, where to put it in the Nicobar Islands. We weren't even looking there. And even without that, the raw telemetry data for those satellite pings that we were talking about wasn't released until May 27th, 2014. That's 3 months after the plane disappeared, practically. The published date on the satellite video from Regicide is May 19th, 2014, 8 days before the raw telemetry data was even published. Which then begs the question, how did some hoaxer know to put the plane in the exact location where this plane is turning into the South Indian Ocean, according to the narratives? Because even the experts didn't know. All we had before that was this weird graph with lines going up and down like this. And even the experts couldn't make any heads or tails out of what it meant. Then the raw telemetry data was released for the satellite pings, and then they started to figure out where the plane was. Before then, most of the flight paths you would find online would say this plane flew like over Indonesia, like directly over Indonesia, not like up and around it. And where we have this plane is like in the area where it goes up and around Indonesia in this video. The
So,
second
okay.
video,
Oh,
let me
sorry, go
real
ahead.
quick, the second video, the drone video, first of all, you're starting to build a narrative here. Like somebody leaked that first video, probably thought it
Right.
was absolute proof. And
Right.
then the media ignored it. And then
Of
the
course.
second video, the drone video that you're seeing from a completely different perspective, by the way, completely different side of the plane.
Yep.
This satellite video is looking down. This drone video is like horizontal from the other side of the plane. And that video says received June 5th, 2014, which is like 2 to 3 weeks after the satellite video was published. And it says published June 12th, 2014, which is a week after it was supposedly received. And now you're going, whoa, I mean, if somebody's trying to come up with a murder mystery, it doesn't get any more enthralling than this, because it's like you showed the first video and then nothing happened, and then you leaked a second video
Video.
and they're both in perfect synchronization. There's not a discrepancy on a single frame in either of these videos from
Right.
two completely different angles. It's funny because a lot of these pseudo celebrity debunker people, you ask them, what would you want in an authentic video to believe that it's real? And they'll say, I want two videos from two different angles. And then you
Right.
show them these videos and they go, no, that can't be real. So it's
Right.
like the standard of evidence is just the goalposts are constantly on wheels. These are the best anomalous videos in the history of the world. And it's not even close. Nothing is even remotely close to as great as these videos are. If these videos are somehow fake, which there's 0% chance, then they are masterpieces, well beyond anything anyone's produced in any movie ever. And they were
Right.
made in 2014, if that's true as well. Like, I've
Right.
got Jeffrey Ford, lead VFX editor for Marvel Studios,
Right.
on record saying that it would have taken them 3 to 6 months minimum to make these videos, because you have to do all the research about what this stuff, these assets look like. No one even knew what a satellite video would even look like at all. And then you
Right.
got to build a storyboard, and then you got to start making them, and you got to make no mistakes anywhere in any of these frames.
And
It's
there's all
just,
the little details. Like I remember I saw one
yeah.
of your debunking videos where like a part of the cloud is caught. Like it's just a really tough to debunk thing. And if people want to learn more, go check out on Twitter or X, go find, what was it? Just where, what was your handle?
Yeah, at
Just
just X
X
Ashton.
at just X Ashton, Ashton. All right.
Let's
Like
do
I
it.
guess we're not gonna solve the mystery, so to speak, of it all here, but I do want to get the key thrust out to people. Okay, if this video is real, now what is happening here? Is this, it's making it explode? It's teleporting it somewhere? What do we think that is happening?
Yeah, so after a lot of research, what I can say is that I'm 99% sure that what we're seeing here is some form of teleportation. Now, it's not Star Trek teleportation. You're not dematerializing the object and rematerializing it somewhere else. Although it starts to get pretty weird, if I'm being perfectly honest.
Sure.
What we're looking at here is a wormhole. It's a shortcut through space-time. These videos, in my mind, prove that the holographic principle of the universe is correct. And the science behind these videos goes back to James Clerk Maxwell, who is the father of electrical engineering, before Oliver Heaviside reduced Maxwell's equations and got rid of the scalar potential. Maxwell said that the scalar potential couldn't be measured, so we're just going to set it equal to zero. And then they reduced the equations. We need that scalar potential, because that scalar potential is the stress in the medium of space-time. And the stress in the medium of space-time is gravity. So when we can manipulate gravity, then we can bend space-time, just like an Einstein-Rosen bridge, which is a wormhole. And the reason why this is a wormhole is, first of all, these orbs are showing magnetic monopoles. That's the weird heat signature you guys are seeing in those orbs. That science was not publicly available until 2015, when the Aalto University paper was published. If you were to Google Aalto University, AALTO, and magnetic monopole, you're going to find the paper I'm talking about. Before that, there was no idea what we were looking at. Look at those heat signatures. That is weird. You can even see the gravity engines on the thermal video, on the drone video. When you look at it through its color change, the dark lines are actually in front of these orbs pulling them forward. It's some kind of warp drive. And when I say warp drive, it's like pulling space around you to pull yourself forward. If you were in a sled and you're just like pulling yourself to get the sled to go, it's the same idea. This is how the orbs are able to basically defy gravity, have zero G forces, maneuver like they're maneuvering. And then what we think happens is they take all those basically like gravity waves they're making and they point them directly at the center of mass of the plane. And they act as pump waves where it creates a zero point system, like an equilateral triangle. And then what happens there then is they're creating a singularity in the center of mass of this plane that basically causes a rip in space time. And then where does this plane go? You see my sign here that says four orbs. They call me Ashton Four Orbs, even though my last name is Forbes, because my buddy Dave Rossi speculated, what if there's a fourth orb that's entangled, quantum entangled, to the other three orbs? And then just like a slingshot, I'm looking for my trusty rubber bands here. Just like a slingshot, you create your singularity, then poof, all of a sudden plane goes from over here to over here, wherever the fourth orb is. That's what we speculate is happening to this plane. It's also possible that it's some kind of advanced teleportation or cloaking. However, the smoke trail stops in the satellite video the moment the plane disappears, which even if you cloak this plane, that smoke trail should keep going. And then it could be annihilation. Annihilation is also possible with the same kind of physics and science, but there's too much going on with the movement of the orbs. They're like mapping the plane in the satellite video in this like sinusoidal pattern where they're spinning around it, which seems to be that they're trying to figure out how big the singularity has to be to encompass the plane. And how do they control the singularity is the speed at which the orbs converge on the plane, which is weird, but time is the variable that determines it. The faster the orbs converge, the bigger the singularity is going to be. Kind of like when you're jamming magnets together. If you jam them slowly together, it's easier. If you jam them very quickly, you get a very strong repulsive force. Same idea as what these orbs are doing. It's something called Coulomb's law that would state that as the distance between your charged objects reduces, your force increases exponentially. So we believe that what's happening here is some kind of teleportation event, and that's why it disappears as fast as the speed of light. And actually, like that event that happens there happens in under 0.2 seconds. Like it's a fraction of a second and the whole plane's gone. And it's an endothermic event. The drone video gives us so much detail from this. It's black. It's cold.
Yeah.
It's not an explosion. An explosion would be white hot.
Right.
But instead, it's black. So this is crazy because the only thing conventional physics needs to believe that warp drive and that a wormhole is possible is something called negative energy.
Okay.
And negative energy is this idea of tapping into the zero point energy all around us. If you could break away all the electromagnetic waves that are bouncing around everywhere, you would negative entropy zone, which you could think of as negative entropy zone as a cold black void almost. And that's what we're seeing in the video. When they increase their energy levels, they're going to such a high level, they're getting past something called the Schwinger limit, which is where space-time becomes nonlinear. And just imagine that from a layman's perspective is if you have a painting and you were to rip away the paint and you're going to see the canvas underneath it for a split second, and then it's going to close up right away. That's the same idea as this. So we're seeing everything that we need to see in order to believe that a wormhole is actually possible and that warp drive is actually possible.
Right.
And this opens up the idea of zero point energy, even free energy to a degree.
Right.
Because in order to achieve these energy densities, conventional physics would say that you need to have some type of mechanism to extract energy from the zero point system all around us. Otherwise, they would say it's not possible to achieve those energy densities. But if it is, then the math says, oh, all this is possible and we can create wormholes and all this stuff. So I've talked to engineers. I've talked to physicists. The engineers I've talked to, like Salvatore Paez, he has patents that are considered UFO patents, but they're, in my opinion, just advanced technology patents for high-frequency gravitational wave generator, the thing we're seeing in those orbs.
Well, this even aligns with Bob Lazar, to bring him up. And I found on YouTube, he did an instructional like lesson series on how what he saw. I'd never heard that. Like I saw the thing on Netflix and the Rogan interviews, but then I did some Googling and I saw he did this whole like tutorial, like classroom videos explaining it. And he talked about how it's amplifying a gravity wave. And so a lot of all this stuff is, it's the whole thing. Like Bob's story hasn't changed in 40 years. And even things like element 115 have been proven real when it was all laughable. And now here we're looking at this and you're talking about this and it lines up with technology that Bob was saying existed so many years ago. And I think even Tesla was on the sort of the zero, was it the 0 point energy?
Tesla was right. And Bob Lazar, I don't personally agree with the element 115 being required. Maybe it's still a thing that's real. I don't know, but we don't need that to produce the energy that we're seeing. Mm. With respect to free energy and 0 point energy, you can extract that with cold fusion, and you can also extract it through particular magnetic configurations as well, if you know how to get the to tune the devices correctly. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, I don't think we need that part, but everything else, Bob Lazar is right. We definitely can manipulate gravity waves. But what I would tell people is there are engineers that work in black projects for private military contractors. There's more papers out there about high frequency gravitational waves than I thought could be out there at all. Mm. Not just Salvatore Pius's literal patent for high frequency gravitational waves, patent, like approved. And there's this disinformation out there about how you can patent anything. That is objectively false. Right. Literally spoken to Salvatore Pius. Unless it's feasible, they will reject your patents. In fact, the Navy had to step in and tell the patent office that it was possible because they didn't believe and they didn't want to approve his patents. Mm. Now, in addition to that, I found Ning Li, who used superconductors to achieve gravity manipulation and mass reduction. I found Bob Baker, who's another engineer. And people don't even know these guys' names. They're like, if you were to make a Mount Rushmore of like engineers of the that worked in private military contractors and private labs for the last 30 years, these guys would be on the Mount Rushmore. Mm. I found Gary Stevenson, who also worked and wrote co-authored papers with Bob Baker about high-frequency gravitational waves. There's one that talks about the uses of high-frequency gravitational waves by Bob Baker, and it's mind-blowing. It talks about all the different things you can do. It's not just propulsion. Mm-hmm. You can create communication systems that are like faster than like communication systems. Mm. You can create telescopes. I didn't realize that you could create telescopes. And some of the benefits are like it goes through solid mass. So you can actually shoot something straight down. You can use it to determine if there's like little holes in the earth and like little gaps in the earth. So it blew my mind when I read a lot of that because I went, these guys are not lightweights. Like they're not writing these papers just because like they're writing these papers because they know.
Right.
And you got people like Thomas Bearden, Lieutenant Colonel Thomas Bearden. He was also a government contractor. And the stuff he says is mind-blowing. Like he explains the science we see in those MH370 videos, but in lectures in 85, that's 39 years ago.
Right.
He's talking about cold explosions and Maxwell's equations and how if you zero out the magnetic vector potential, you can create a scalar wave, scalar beam. And this is like a beam of pure potential. And remember what we said about scalar earlier is that a scalar potential is the stress in the medium. It's gravity. So imagine taking like a gravity beam and shooting it. And what he says is if you zero it out, it looks like there's nothing there. It would look like you're shooting an invisible wave. But what you're really doing is you're shooting a longitudinal wave through the ether or through the 0 point energy field all around us. And if you take two of them and interfere them at a distance, cross the streams like Ghostbusters, then you can produce energy at a distance or you can absorb energy at a distance, polarize it one way or the other. Now, what's absorbing energy at a distance? An endothermic event. He called it a cold explosion.
Mm.
And I went, whoa, cold explosion.
Explosion.
That's what we're seeing in those videos. We're seeing, and then he even did the 0 point system where he made a triangle formation with his hands. And I went, oh shit. Because you could imagine you would start this off with like radar, where you create a radar, but you make a scalar beam out of it. And then you shoot them up and you interfere them. And you can create a directed energy weapon that way or an absorption of energy.
Right.
And then the next advancement would be put it in satellites and then have the satellites shoot it down because you have
space
better
lasers.
Field of vision, right? Space lasers. Which I believe 100% are real after looking into this science.
This puts so much money into black ops programs. What are they? They're not sitting around just spending that money so they can go sit on a beach and drink Mai Tais. That's something I on a small tangent, I feel like this is an exciting time to be alive and be human because I think there's a lot of awareness and awakening happening. And that's part of why I wanted to have you on the show, is help be a part of that. Because I feel like maybe once upon a time we were hunters and gatherers, where we were very nomadic and chasing the food. And then someone figured out, hey, if we just plant this much at this time, we can not have to move around so much. We can have an easier life. And they became the kings because they had the knowledge of how many and how to grow the food. And then some were leaders, some were followers, helpers that helped out. And then they did this very well, but not everybody knew how to do it. And there were bandits and thieves that didn't have the knowledge, and they would come in the night or whatever and steal the food. So now we need people to keep us safe. And so now you have soldiers and sentry, people that protect the community, so to speak. This is what Japan, this is what the samurai were. When you went and lived in a community, you had to give a gift to the samurai because they were risking their lives to keep you and your family safe at night by guarding the walls of the community. And so now we have this where we've got kings that have the knowledge and the soldiers that protect us, and they're protecting us from the people outside. But then we get to this point where now everybody knows how to grow food. It's been around. It's not new anymore. But the kings don't want to lose their status and wealth, and the soldiers don't want to lose theirs. And when there maybe there's some sort of agreement, either a boogeyman has to be made, or we have to make an agreement with the bandits on profit sharing, not only the money we make from protection, but the money that they make when they plunder. And then some sort of agreement on like acceptable losses and, you know, who can we lose to keep the charade going on? And in some ways, I feel like that's where we're at today, where we see all this stuff going on. Like Julian Assange was just freed. And he said, the goal is not to win the war. It's to have an endless war, to enter the tax base and launder it through all these.
War is meant to be persistent. Yeah.
And so that's where I feel like we're at now, is now we're in people like you bringing this stuff like going, hey, we've had some breakthroughs and maybe this stuff is dangerous in the hands of everyday people, but there's a massive benefit to us. And speaking to even Elon Musk, on whatever timeline you put us on, at some point, something's going to happen to the Earth. And so if we don't learn and become a multiplanetary species, if I love this, I'm going to butcher it, but his concept that consciousness is a candle in darkness and we have to keep this alive. And I feel like that's why it's such an exciting time right now, because the parasites are revealing themselves. We're all waking up to this sort of stuff. And then there's people that won't go away like you. It just keeps talking about it and just keeps talking about it. It just keeps, and people like me are like, hey, let's talk about it, to go, we need to talk about this because this has massive ramifications. I think that a primary purpose of our existence is continuation of our species. And then after that, continuation of our bloodline. And then after that, it's our own fulfillment and desires. I think that we owe our ancestors things, but that's a tangent I'll get off of here. I know we only got a few minutes left, 5-10 minutes. I want to be respectful of your time, but where are we at now with this? What people that want to go deeper can go through your timeline on Twitter, and there's all these debunk videos. Where are we at now, and what are some of the next steps to this?
Yeah, I know these videos are real. I've seen enough behind the scenes. I've talked to enough scientists and engineers to know beyond any doubt this technology is real, which means that the videos are real as well, because I don't think there's any fake videos that allow people to uncover secret science that has been suppressed for almost 100 years.
Yeah.
And it just, the videos fit with the real story of the plane better than any story ever. We've used more evidence than any other story out there uses. That's the crazy part too. Like that debris is only consistent with our scenario where this plane's teleporting somewhere near the Maldives and then flying probably to Diego Garcia military base, which is a great place to hide a plane. Turns out that's a really good location for the debris to have gone in the water and then drifted and onto Africa, is you just throw some debris in the ocean and Diego Garcia and then shows up in Africa and then everybody thinks the plane crashed. So for me, it's more of a matter of waking people up slowly but surely and getting people comfortable with this idea that teleportation is actually possible. Because I think it just breaks a lot of people's minds. A lot of people also can't comprehend this idea that science could be suppressed for that long. And one of the things I found out is it's actually really easy to suppress science, way easier than I even thought it was, especially when you control the media and you control the perception of events. A lot of people just believe whatever the authority tells them, no questions asked.
Right. And, well, especially if you have a monopoly on violence, like governments do. That will kill you, kill your family, will kill a bunch of people. Oh, look, your son had a car accident. Like
they don't even have to do a lot of that because, and they probably do to some degree, don't get me wrong.
Right.
For people like me, they can't really pull it off because I'm not daring them here, but because you know, you have a big enough social media profile, it would be really weird. Like this whole thing, there would be a Streisand effect if I were to disappear. And so what they do is they use disinformation.
Right.
So they deploy their assets. And in some cases, like some of these debunks, I'm without any doubt, I'm confident that they planted the debunks out there for people to find and then to run with them. like this picture of clouds that matches the videos. Like clearly those clouds came from the real satellite imagery and they did some kind of injection onto a picture to make people believe that it came from some picture that some guy took while he was on an airplane. And even he might have thought that because they just hacked into his computer, or just hacked his cloud service and just injected it into his picture, right?
Right.
And that's how the disinformation works. And then they also discredit people. And you see this a lot. This is part of the reason why I wanted to be one of these people to come out, because I was a government contractor, not like weird technology stuff, but like healthcare. And so I had a security clearance, meaning that you're not going to be able to say I'm a crazy person or whatever, because the government's vetted my whole background and they've looked into everything I've done. But that's what they do. They claim that you're a crazy person. They send the whole skeptical inquirer, which is just full of like a bunch of idiots for the most part, people like Neil deGrasse Tyson, Bill Nye, the science guy, debunker people like Mick West, people that like probably couldn't pass a high school physics test if they tried. And then they have those people go out there and say, oh, this is all fake. This is debunked. There's no accredited peer-reviewed people that believe this. And this is the same stuff they did with COVID as well. They claim everything's misinformation and stuff like that. That's generally what they do. And it's super effective. So my goal has been to just show people that the science is out there. I post scientific papers. Nobody ever reads any of the scientific papers I post. Actually, it gets like the least amount of engagement on any of my content. Not
just yours. I just read them in general. I'm with you.
I'm glad, because not enough people do. And if people looked, they would see that this stuff is not just real, but it's been out there for a very long time. Mm-hmm. These are the Defense Intelligence Agency papers called the DIRDs, Defense Intelligence Reference Documents. I'm just going to name two of them for you. Sure. One is called Warp Drives, Dark Energy, and the Manipulation of Extra Dimensions. Whoa. And if you read it, it's basically explaining the orbs and everything we see around the orbs. It talks about dark energy. You're going to hear the Casimir Force get mentioned a lot, because the Casimir Force proves that there's zero-point energy all around us. And then the second one's called Traversable Wormholes, Stargates, and Negative Energy. And these papers are from 2010. That's 4 years before the plane disappeared. They were written by these government engineers, the ones that people don't generally know their names. They know a couple of them, like Eric Davis and Hal Puthoff. Those are definitely a couple of the guys that know. But what I want people to know is these people are so well off and they're so well set up monetarily and they have NDAs for everything they've done. They have no incentive to come out and start telling the truth to people. This is why they don't do it. Right. And then if they do it, then they get these people like from the Skeptical Inquirer. They have I'm not joking about this, by the way. If you go to Hal Puthoff's Wikipedia page, they say that, zero point energy is not accepted. And it's literally a biologist who's the one trying to debunk Hal Puthoff, one of the most legendary physicists and electrical engineers who's worked in private labs and private military contractors for like decades. This guy's like 85. He spent like 50 years, 60 years. And you've got a random idiot biologist trying to claim that what he says isn't real. And just this is why. And like people like Hal Puthoff, he doesn't have any incentive to come out and try to wake people up. I don't give a shit, man. I'm sitting on my millions of dollars. I don't want to deal with the social media and all these people attacking. So I truly believe that there's some factions in the government that want the stuff hidden because some of the reasons it's dangerous, they profit off of it. They don't think that the people are ready for it. They're afraid that some people will harm themselves if they know that the holographic principle is true. They'll think that we're living in a simulation. And then you have the people that want it out because they want to live in a better world. They know that we could be living in Star Trek world. They know that all the wars in this world are a lie and they're just for money. They're meant to be persistent. They know that fossil fuels are obsolete and that we've been using them for the last 100 years just because of those barriers. Yeah, it's profitable, but also because the other reasons, like it's dangerous to, if we give people free energy devices that can run everything they need, A, we can't charge them anymore for energy, but B, could they make a doomsday weapon? And if they could, how do we prevent them from doing it? So there are challenges related to it, but the people that want it out, look at they weigh those options and they go, look, man, we can't hold this back forever.
Bro, so that's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
We can't hold it
and
back.
I'm one of those people too. So that's the reason why. And I think the people that want it out are behind the scenes, like, supporting me, and they're you know, happy that I'm doing this because I don't have any NDAs. I've never worked in a private lab like that, so I can just say whatever I want, and everything that I found is open source. Nobody's giving me secret documents. Like, I'm just finding it in the open and going, holy shit, here's the proof that what the science is real. And that's what I think is incredible, is that what I would challenge people, as a final thought for people out there, is that that all the information's out there, but it's spread out
Right.
in the public. And when you put the pieces together, and I'm talking science, not like weird conspiracy stuff, piecing everything together, like literally the science, you'll find a cohesive pattern that leads to one conclusion, which
Right.
is that Maxwell was right, Tesla was right. There is a zero point energy field. We can tap into it. And it doesn't mean that Einstein's totally wrong. It just means there's a way to unify spooky action at a distance, quantum mechanics, the double slit experiment, with general relativity, what we see from very large objects. And we know we can quantum teleport small object. We know we can quantum teleport information. We're also working on quantum teleporting energy as well. So all you have to do is scale that up. Once you can do that at the macro level, now you're talking about making a person go from over here to over here. And again, it's not dematerialization. It's like cheating the medium of space-time. Imagine that the space-time is a medium and shaking it up. And then now, there we go. Off to the
Fourth orb. No, I love
off
this.
To the fourth orb.
You're like the honey badger of hidden tech. You're like, you're just like, you won't stop. You climb the wall. You go under the, I love it. No, Ashton, this has been great. I really appreciate you coming on. I think we need more talking about this. I'm all about meritocracy. I'm all about doing what we can to perpetuate the survival of our species.
Yep.
I think that we were created to create. I think that knowledge is the solution to everything. People don't realize there's a lot of people that are like, Gaia will provide all, but they forget that prior to technology, we could only really live near the equator. Like, I'm from Canada. The pioneers died. They came in the spring and they were like, this place is great. And they had a great summer and then they all died. So we really do need technology to survive. And the only way
it's a fun investigation as well, just in terms of everything that's been uncovered. I think there's a lot of big questions that we can start to ask. I've really focused on the science, but what's the nature of our civilization? Why are we on this planet? And has there been advanced civilizations before us? Because this science is not an invention. Understanding this science is a discovery, which means that it doesn't require some level of technological advancement to achieve. It's more about how you understand how the universe works. So there's some really big questions that are really fun to ask, which I hope in the future we can get to. But before that, we got to wake people up. We got to have people realize, like, hey, guys, we are not at the pinnacle of scientific advancement right now. And there is further that we can go up. And what does that look like? And that's what I think we're going to find out, that we can teleport an object. I hope it happens in my lifetime, because I do want to see us become an interstellar species. And I want to see us have free energy. I want us to have real green energy, not solar panels and windmills that destroy, that are toxic
kill
for
whales.
the environment. I want like a literal device that can just power my whole home. Do we need to ever just pull energy out of the vacuum?
I love this. People, if you want to learn more, if you want to stay in touch, go check out Just X Ashton, A-S-H-T-O-N, on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. Ashton, thank you again for joining us today. I know that you do this a lot, and I appreciate making time in your schedule to come talk with us and hopefully help some people just consider, believe more is possible. I just think that's a fantastic thing to inspire people with. So thank you so much. It's been an honor and a pleasure.
Yeah, I just want to quote Kevin Garnett when he won the NBA championship. He said, everything is possible. I think about that a lot, because I actually think it's true as well. So thank you very much for your audience.